Well, I thought Sammy would be fishing today. I see he's in the audience, so that's a blessing. And we're glad to have everyone present for our morning service. Some of the most interesting stories in the New Testament are stories involving Jesus and his encounter with women. There is the famous story of Jesus at the well with the Samaritan woman. And of course, the famous story of Jesus being brought, the woman who was caught in adultery, and his relationship to Mary Magdalene and Mary and Martha. All of these are very beneficial stories for us to know. There is a story in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28. That has some different aspects to it. It's the story of Jesus' encounter with a woman who has come to him for the healing of her very ill daughter. And it is a surprising story because Jesus' attitude toward this woman at first is very surprising and to some extent disturbing at first. I read to you from the scripture, Matthew 15, verses 21 and following. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word to her. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, help me." And he replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This story is told again in Mark's Gospel. Matthew gives us a few more details, and that's why I've used the Gospel of Matthew today. The Gospel of Mark tells us one important fact that Matthew omits. That fact is this: Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence a secret. Perhaps that fact will help us understand a little bit about this story. Isn't this a troubling story? I mean, do you imagine Jesus having this attitude toward anyone, much less a woman who has come only to beg that her daughter be cured? This attitude comes across as rude. He ignored her. You know, sometimes being ignored is far more of a rude treatment than words that might be said. I've talked to some of my friends who are of minority races, and they tell of growing up with their parents in smaller towns and going to stores in which the clerks would just ignore their parents and not wait on them. The Bible says Jesus ignored her, and that comes across as rude and insensitive. And even Jesus' words in this story seem racist. He says, "Is it right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs?" I'm sure that if the internet were at work then, it would say that Jesus calls a Samaritan woman a dog. Calling names is very typical. It just surprises us that Jesus would say this. Now, we don't mind Jesus being harsh towards scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. He called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs and hypocrites. But in this story, he is not reacting to them or anyone like them. There's nothing about this woman that strikes us as being a Pharisee or even of a hypocrite. There is nothing that says she's not sincere when she first comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, help me. My daughter is suffering a terrible illness. Please heal her." Jesus appears to be rude and insensitive and even a racist to a woman who is on a mission for Jesus to heal her daughter of a terrible infirmity. He ignores her, and finally, when he does speak, his words are more of an insult normally than what we would expect. If it had been John the Baptist speaking to this mother, we might have understood it. You know, John the Baptist was kind of abrupt with people. One time a group of men came and wanted to be baptized. As a person who has pleaded with people to be baptized over the years, I find it hard to place myself in John the Baptist's position at that time, but he stopped the whole group. He said, "I'm not going to baptize one of you until you bring me some fruits that you have repented of your sins. I'm not baptizing you." And when they were leaving, he called them a den of snakes. And so John the Baptist, it would not surprise us to read that she treated a woman this way. The apostles disappoint us. How could they be insensitive to this mother that they saw begging for help? The apostles don't want her around. Her continuous pleading and crying got on their nerves. The Message translation makes the situation vivid. They come to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, send her away. Now she is bothering us. Would you please take care of her? She's driving us crazy." Even if we construe the disciples asking that Jesus grant her request, the motive behind the request is not very noble. They seem to be saying to Jesus, "Please give this crazy Gentile woman what she wants, because it's an embarrassing situation and she's driving us crazy." Not much compassion in that request by the disciples. When Jesus does not say a word to her, she has turned to the apostles. The Greek word in our text indicates that this is a cry of desperation, of some deep emotional need. And it is a repeated begging and crying out. And that simply got on the apostles' nerves. In all of this, Jesus seems to be cast in a bad light. The apostles in a worse light. But the woman herself seems so innocent. She's not self-seeking. She's not asking for anything for herself. She is very respectful. She says, "Lord," and she identifies him as from the lineage of David. Three times, in fact, she calls him Lord. She is begging for help for someone other than herself. Her daughter is suffering tragically for reasons she did not cause or can control. Why is she being treated this way? Well, a surface reading appears that she's being treated this way because she's a female, because she is a Gentile, and she is a Canaanite. Think about this. She's being treated this way because she's a female and a Gentile and a Canaanite. Yet she is all of this only by accident of birth. She did not choose to be born a female. She did not choose to be a Gentile. She did not choose to be a Canaanite. All of these are simply accidents of birth. Is it possible that Jesus and his apostles are treating her shabbily for reasons that are entirely beyond her control and none of which were her choice? And so we feel that some way we need to explain this story. You know, to say that I want to explain Jesus is an audacious statement. But it does feel as if we owe some, as if someone owes this mother an apology. There is some effort to understand this incongruity between the compassionate Jesus we know and the rudeness he seems to exhibit on this occasion. I have found that no explanation satisfies me completely. And so, if after I give you several possible explanations, you're not satisfied completely, I understand that. One explanation is this, that the story is included in the Gospels. And that's kind of interesting. We'd think this story might have been left out. If you were editing the biography of Jesus, this is not a story that you would necessarily want to include. But it was included by Matthew's Gospel and by Mark's Gospel. And one reason it may have been included is to explain that Jesus struggled with how extensive his ministry should be. Jesus entered the ministry when he was 30 years of age. And he followed his cousin, John the Baptist, into a ministry to the Jewish people. The question is, was Jesus aware of the need for the ministry to extend to the Gentile world? And if so, why didn't he extend it in his lifetime? There are indications that Jesus understood that his earthly ministry was directed to the Jewish people only. John the Baptist, you remember, was a call for repentance and baptism, and it was directed only to the Jewish people to be baptized. In Matthew 10, Jesus commissioned his apostles to preach the kingdom of God, but in Matthew 10, it says he restricted their preaching only to Jews. Do not go to the Gentiles. Jesus' comment to his disciples shows an indication that he saw his mission as restricted only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, here in this story is a Gentile mother calling him Lord and pleading for mercy. Maybe it awakened in him an expanding desire to extend his ministry to Gentiles. Indeed, after this story, the next stop is to another Gentile area where he preaches and feeds 4,000 people in a Gentile desert. Some believe the story is included in the Gospels because many in the early church had difficulty accepting Gentiles into the church. The church of Jerusalem was sharply divided. There are those who were strict Jewish Christians who did not readily accept Gentiles into the church. Surprisingly, they are identified as being led by James, the brother of the Lord. For the first several years, of course, the church was composed of Gentiles, of Jews only. The church was not interested in sharing their gospel with anyone except Jews. It took a special miracle and revelation to convince the Apostle Peter to go to the house of Cornelius and to baptize the first Gentile. This act of Peter was not well received by many in the Jewish church. They could not accept that an apostle would enter the house of an uncircumcised Gentile, preach the gospel, and baptize him, making him a part of the church. And so the book of Acts, chapters 10 and 11, contain the need that Peter had, even though an apostle, to explain to the church why he did this act of baptizing a Gentile. The apostles and leaders of the church may have been persuaded that salvation in Jesus Christ included the Gentiles, but many in the Jewish segment of the church found this unacceptable. And maybe this story is included to show that Jesus did reach out and perform the same kind of healing to this Gentile mother as he had to Jewish mothers. This is an interesting thought to me. Although the gospel record indicates that Jesus had earlier ventured into a Gentile region, and there he performed a notable healing there. Mark's gospel tells us about that incident, but it also tells us that the people did not want him there. The Gentiles drove him away from that region. A second explanation is that Jesus is simply putting this mother's faith to a test. His first test was simply to give her the silent treatment. Then he tested her by inferring that what she was requesting was like taking the family food and giving it to the pet dogs rather than to the children. Finally, after she passed all the tests to prove that her faith was genuine, he granted it. The esteemed commentator John Calvin said that Jesus' words and behavior were intended to whet her zeal and inflame her ardor, and that the woman passed the test. Of all the explanations of this story, this one is least attractive to me personally. Jesus toying with the faith of a desperate mother, begging for her child's help, is not persuasive to me. One of the things that is true is that we do not know how Jesus spoke these words. That is the difficulty of interpreting written words. Something may be written down, and it depends on how one says them as to the meaning of those words. And so some have imagined that actually Jesus was engaged in a sense of humorous rapport with this woman, and that he said these words about not giving the food to the dogs that belonged to the children with a twinkle in his eye, and that the woman would not have felt insulted because she would have known that Jesus was being humorous in his remarks. This is an appealing explanation to me. It seems that the woman was a very sharp woman, and she had a proper retort back when she said, well, even the dogs get what falls from the master's table. But this explanation does not satisfy fully, because it does not explain Jesus' initial silence and ignoring of her. There's nothing humorous about that. It does not explain his response to the disciples who wanted Jesus to give her what she wanted in order to get rid of her. This explanation, while better than others, does not fully explain his seeming reluctance to meet this mother's needs. Mark's gospel may be helpful in his account of the story. Jesus had left the Jewish region and come to the Gentile region for the purpose of getting away from his ministry for a while. We forget easily that Jesus is a human person, needed rest and food and quiet times. We see these needs in the gospel, but sometimes we forget them. It may be that Jesus was so exhausted that he needed a period of quiet rest, and that's why he secretly came to a Gentile area. The woman's intrusion into the house where he hoped to remain in secret made that purpose impossible. If Jesus healed her daughter, the fact of his presence would be known immediately. You would not expect this woman to be sedate or quiet if her daughter were healed. And so we can understand that perhaps Jesus' initial reaction toward this mother was the fact that he needed so desperately himself to rest and to recover from his activities. Sometimes we must utilize the principle of the greater good in our own personal lives. If we do not, we will be overused and weary from so many demands that we lose our sense of direction. I remember reading the biography of a famous preacher who collapsed spiritually and mentally from the demands on his times and abilities. It led not only to his leaving his ministry, but to a divorce, and those who had been his friends turning against him. Years later, after recovery, he reflected, and he expressed it in this way. He felt like a water pump by the side of the road, and that every passerby thought he or she had the right to grab that handle and pump until he had nothing left for himself or his family. And that can happen to us. And perhaps Jesus was himself at that point and needed so much to be in a place where he would not be called upon and could rest. Let me draw some lessons from this story. This book, Mother, represents that faith oftentimes requires humility and perseverance. It illustrates what Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. It illustrates for us the perseverance in prayer. We never give up. We never give up. A second lesson I draw from this story is that this Gentile mother represents a marginalized person. We know what marginalized persons are in our own society. Yet these people have access to the mercy of God, and that's a wonderful thought. The early church grappled with accepting marginalized people. Today, in many places, the church confronts this same prejudice. It may be because of race or of culture, or it may be because someone is too needy and too poor. The church has always struggled with that. But in its brighter moments, the church is always accepted as the Lord accepted on this occasion, to embrace and to grant and to pray for and to accept the most marginalized persons of our society. I'm sure the mother of this desperately ill daughter was filled with gratitude all of her life for having been so persistent in encountering Jesus. She showed her faith by what she did. And Jesus finally gave to her what she most needed, and that is the curing of her daughter's health. I hope you have your own ideas about this story. It remains one of the stories that has some aspects to it that are not entirely explained in my own mind, but I hope that you will give it some thought as well. We're going to invite anyone who might be subject to the invitation of Christ to confess their faith and to be baptized, or to have prayer with us today. While we stand to sing, we invite you to come to the front.